I love it. I wish somebody would come up with the music. Who let the cat out? Meow, meow. Oh, my Mika is, but yes, Mika. Yeah, she would enjoy that type of the music. You know, guys, I'm not a spokesperson for the cats, and I believe the great things about the cats is a great exerciser for the dogs. I'm kidding. I love all animals, but you know, I just wish somebody come up with that music too.
Who brought the cats in? Who brought the cats in? Who brought the cats in?
Look, this is the Douglish Radio, and this is the Vladi, Russian Dog Wizard. And we have a lot of interesting things is coming up. A lot of exciting guests, famous trainers from Chicago, from UK, publishers Fido Friendly, and many, 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 many interesting things. But I feel myself today a little bit tired. I just came from the industry, one of the biggest pet events, Super Zoo in Las Vegas. You know, guys, what Las Vegas means? It's like a capital scamming capital of America. You know, yes, Mr. Producer, am I right? It's scamming capital of America.
Shut up.
Because my pronunciation sometimes, I just want to make sure people understand what I said. But anyway, I met so many fascinating people, but I also met my former crew and my former boss from Animal Radio. And you know what? I would like to hear that things.
This is the Vladi, and I'm staying right now at Super Zoo with my former big lovers, and I cannot say my Animal Radio team. I love them so much, and you know, I would like to ask the baby Judy and Hale, or Judy probably around the corner. What happened, guys? Why the Vladi is not working with you anymore? You gotta hear it to believe it, and you will hear it next.
Meanwhile, we're gonna go back to our current Douglas Radio, and I would like to introduce to everyone very special friend of mine and our first guest, Mark Goldberg. Mark Goldberg is the famous dog trainer in the country, and he's the trainers. And I mean what I say. He's training a lot of trainers to become better trainers. And he even inventor of, it's called force-free e-touch method, which I'm going to ask him about. He lives in Chicago, and his business is, you can locate him on chicagodogtrainer.com. ChicagoDogTrainer.com. Highly recommend. Real one. Real trainer.
I bring the great examples. And those examples, people can relate.
Know him for years. Mark, it's my honor to have you. How are you?
Vladi, I'm pleased to be with you, and thank you for that bottle of vodka that you sent me. I'm enjoying it right now.
I think we'll have a good show if we start from the vodka, you know. That's one thing we can agree on, because two dog trainers can agree on one thing, which is third trainer is wrong. And regarding that, we're going to talk about the third trainer. But before we go into that, I know you're specializing in in-home training for ChicagoDogTrainer.com. People can contact you, specializing in private training, all type of the training, real type of the training. But more than anything, I would like to ask you about, if you could, in two words, to describe for me, what does it mean, force-free e-touch method, which I know many trainers across America coming to you, to Chicago, and learning it from you as inventor. What is this so special about this? What is the force-free dog training method?
Well, the force-free method of dog training, Vladi, is possibly the quickest and gentlest method to get off-leash freedom for your dog. And there is nothing that a dog wants more than to be off that leash, doing a job, enjoying himself with you outside, off the leash. Dogs were not intended to live on a chain or on a 6-foot piece of leather their whole life. So the force-free method is something that I developed to be able to quickly, reliably, and happily lose the leash.
And as I know, because we're going to talk about a very touchy subject, and which subject would make the people take a deep breath. And that is why, without any further ado, I will just tell you as it is. This method based on using electronic collar, which was the badly known in the past as so-called shock collars. And from my perspective, and you will correct me if I'm wrong, the technology turns, even I'm not even talking about your fascinating method, but collars on its own, technology now came to the point which is was never seen before.
We could detonate that dog remotely.
Could you give to our listeners quick introduction to what is electronic collar is about and why you considering it's very gentle and incorporating your method?
Absolutely. Well, you know what, Vladdy? There are two kinds of electricity. The first kind of electricity, I think that you used it in Russia for interrogation purposes. That's type one of electricity. That is not what we do. Okay? Type two of electricity, type two is you go to the doctor or you go to the chiropractor because you have pain, and they put a nerve stimulator on you, which is a couple of pads, or some people call it a TENS unit, right? And what it does is it feeds tiny little impulses of electricity into your muscle, which helps oxygenate the muscle because it works the muscle group a little bit. People are using these now to create abdominal muscles.
So my wife Mark, sorry for interruption. My wife is using every morning to stimulate her muscles. That terrible shock collar.
Same thing.
Yeah.
What? Are you getting this on tape?
But again, it's not the Russian interrogation technique. We don't use that. And here's the unfortunate reality. 1960, 1970, 1980,
Hold on, Joe, give me more
collars that were available for dogs were KGB-type collars. So I did not use them then. They were terrible. They were not usable. They were awful, so I didn't use them. But in the middle of the 1990s, technology finally came to dog training collars, and they invented some beautiful stuff.
Yeah, and the beautiful stuff now, how many times you showed probably, you can use whatever colors you want, even flat color creates so much pressure on the neck, and, even pinch color, I love pinch color, I know you love it too, but sometimes it's becoming like you have a crazy lap or a golden, oh my gosh, they're pulling like a bulldozer or something, like a Russian tank, and it's becoming, even that becoming unsafe, and when you do e-touch method, your method, it's becoming so easy.
Well, my method is called the force-free method. My friend Martin Dealey has a similar method that he calls e-touch, but today we'll talk about the force-free method. It is gentle. It is simple. But like many things that are new, you have to learn how to do it to make it easy. So when you know how to ride a bike, riding a bike becomes very easy to learn. It takes a bit of a trick. So this is not something that people are going to learn overnight. We teach it here at ChicagoDogTrainer.com. We teach it. And what I can tell you is the average client, the average pet owner, the average lady right off the street can learn to use this method with her Pomeranian or her Bichon or her Labrador to have easy, gentle, off-leash control. And quite frankly, I know it's a controversial topic. It is. But only with dog trainers. Only with dog trainers. So what I can tell you is the average pet owner on the street, here's what they want. A happy relationship with their dog, number one. Number two, please don't hurt my dog.
If you treat your dog like a human, your dog will treat you as a dog.
That's all they care about. And when you show show the modern generation of remote training collars to the public, they're very comfortable. They're very happy. It is dog trainers who play with pseudoscience, who like to talk about B.F. Skinner, who like to talk about the theory of dominance, who like to talk about all kinds of cockamamie scientific ideas. These are the people who have a problem with their reality being shaken up and false.
If you cannot lead your dog will lead you. Exactly. I cannot agree with you more than that. And also agree that this devices can be needs to be in the right hands. Otherwise, even a plastic knife. Plastic knife, people, can be extremely dangerous in the wrong hands. And yes, we can do it without that, but we know we could do a lot of things without iPhone, computer, and many other things 20, 30 years ago. And it's a much easier job. It's, you can get the dog off leash in blink of the eye instead of doing it for months and years and still never be reliable. But learn from the best. Mark, the quick question to you. I know, and I've even seen on your website, which is chicagodogtrainer.com, you are hugging with the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan, who I love too. And I have know him in a few occasions, and I know you know him on the personal level. And he's a great guy.
He's the real deal. He's an amazing human being, I think. I never really watched another dog trainer work and had my mouth fall open because I'm a dog trainer too. But when I watch this guy work, I have to tell you, he is stunning. He is interpreting the emotion and the thought of the dog in real time. There is no delay. He speaks dog.
And he's effective.
He's very effective. And quite frankly, what I can tell you is I know it's a controversial topic, again, because there are a certain type of there's a certain type of dog trainer I like to call the treat zombie. And the treat zombie thinks that you have to do everything with treats, and if you do anything differently, then you're a bad person. The treat zombies do not like Cesar Millan, but I can tell you this much. Dogs love him.
Look, Mark, I want you to stick where you're at right now, because I have a big surprise for you and for everyone who's hearing us right now, because I'm going to bring that trainer in the next segment, and he will tell you. I mean, because the first thing when I told him about joining International Association of Canine Professionals, which you belong to, and you've been director of that association, it's International Association of Canine Professionals, you were director of that association, and I asked that guy from UK, which just happened to be Russian, otherwise I would shoot him, and I asked him to join. The first thing he said, oh, the Caesar is there. I am not going to join that organization. So stick around, please. We're going to bring that guy, and we're gonna continue our conversation. Listeners, listen up. You don't want to miss it. Mr. Producer, let's we get to the next one.
Who let the dogs out?
Hi, my guys. This is the Vladi from Doglish Radio. I'm so enjoying to talk to you, and we have such a busy show, a lot of fascinating guests today. Before we go into that, you remember I was teasing you about me meeting my former boss and my former animal radio crew back when I was in Super Zoo? I like how I said in slogan. Sometimes I say smart things. And you know what? I interviewed that guy. He was just, he could not believe I had the boldness to approach to him and, you know, and just say, hey, you know, I have my own show now, and I would like to interview you, Mr. Producer.
Hi, Hal. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. You know, I'm so enjoying this time because you remember the last time you put me to sleep was one guy by name Dave. And this time I slept myself with the two bed in the huge room with two big beds. And I even didn't have any girlfriends, but I am really rested. What about you?
I slept alone. And I didn't sleep very well. I think about you a lot, and that keeps me awake at night.
By the way, thinking about the Vladi, you're not missing Vladi. Tell me honestly.
I do miss him a lot. Unfortunately, I think that you've moved up and we're a small radio show now, and you're bigger than we are, and we.
You're the big Vladi. We're the lowly animal radio people. Poor Dr. Debbie. I had to go hit on Jose Canseco yesterday. You weren't here, so I had to go just oogle him, and it was a mutual oogling, by the way. I will have to say, but he was phenomenal animal lover.
And this is Dr. Davey, my former lover from Animal Radio. We had a lot of great time with her. Guys, thank you so much. I love you so much and miss you. Thank you. Bye.
Googling, it means sniffing each other's butts, my dear listeners. Oh, my gosh. And I'm having right now my another guest co-host, Jo Turner. She's the famous American communicator. This lady can talk to the animals, to their souls, to the life, to the death animals. And she's also talent for Animal Radio. And I'd like to ask her, dear Jo Turner,
Hello, dear Vlade.
Yeah, if I overgrew, I mean, if I'm ready for my own big game, you think the hell is right?
Well, I think that Animal Radio is a great show, and it covers wonderful things, and I think that you've just decided that you're going to do something different, and I think that's marvelous.
Thank you so much. It's very encouraging.
Sit. Stay. The Russian Dog Wizard will be right back. You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
And this is back to the Douglas Radio. And we just spoke with Mark Goldberg, my big friend from Chicago, a great dog trainer, and who said about he loves Cesar Millan and he using force-free method, which is, you know, takes care of the issues quickly and easily and humanely, and he using electronic collars. And now we have on the line another my big friend from UK, which just happened to be Russian. His name is Dima. He is author of the wonderful book by name Dima's Dog School, the foolproof new way to train your dog. Okay? Dima, are you there?
Yes.
It was great pleasure to have you back. So, look, here's the deal is today. I already said how great you are and how I love you, and I also said I would shoot you if you would not be Russian for your vision, but I also said I love you on the personal level, of course, and you have your own unique perspective, and you have a lot of followers, and you have an amazing book, and, you know, here's what we're going to do. I have right now on the phone another great trainer from Chicago, who has a different opinion about the things. And I got to put both you guys for the test. I'm going to get one person on the phone, and that person will tell us about her experience with electronic collar. Basically, I know you hate that thing. And
not true. I don't hate the collar. I just wouldn't be using one myself or recommending it to people. It's a great device. The theory behind it is a fantastic breakthrough.
Yeah, and you will explain us one, and you know, and of course, my friend Mark will tell his story about, and we're gonna ask in general what the trainer suggested to do, and what happened with that person, with her dog, and what the results she've got. So, Mr. Producer, could we get caller number one on the line?
Hello.
Hi, Elsa.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Douglas Radio. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
Good. Good. You have a very interesting accent, almost like mine. What country are you from? From Russia?
No, I wish right now. I'm from South Africa.
Oh, where is that, South Africa? What country?
What? What?
That is South Africa. South Africa country.
I'm sorry to my friend, trainer Mark Goldberg. He tells me, teach me damn Russian. It is the country. You know, I'm from Russia. Yeah, it's a huge country. You know, I look like this. Where the heck is South Africa is, or America, whatever. Anyway,
Elsa. You've never been to South Africa?
No, I never been there. You know,
any
hot girls back there?
Very hot girls. Well, you just have to look at me and you'll know how hot they are.
I bring the great examples.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Producer, after show, get her a phone number for me, please. But Elsa, thank you for calling us. Look, I have two trainers with different opinions. One from Chicago, another from UK. And you told our producer you want to talk to us because you have a dog who is the barking.
Got a question? Call Vladdy.
Could you tell us, like, very quickly, we're going to interrogate you like a KGB. I don't know if you still remember what KGB means. But basically, we need to know. What is your dog's breed, age, and behavior problem?
Okay, my dog is a little German Schnauzer, miniature German Schnauzer.
My gosh, that's the
pain. She's 11 years old.
Okay.
And she's not a barker at all. She's very well behaved, very disciplined, but she has a problem. When the doorbell rings, she barks.
Okay, for everyone who's listening, Cass, we have a little Schnauzer. You know, it's like a little, Dima, it's like a little Russian black terrier.
It's like a little man sitting right next to me. I own one myself.
Oh, you really do? That's cute.
Yes. Look,
and here's what it is. So somebody knocked the door. Mr. Producer, could you knock the door so everyone will hear like this? Can you do like this for me? Boom, 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 boom. Go ahead. Boom, 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 boom. I thought you would do some technological thing. Boom, 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 boom. Anyway. And your dog is... like Russian AK-47 downtown Baghdad before the surge began.
No, she's not Russian. She's German. That's even worse than Russian.
I know. I speak it in a Lagoric language. I'm saying your dog is barking like Russian AK-47. like this.
Just like that.
Okay. So, guys, how are we going to help that person? Let's start with my Russian buddy from UK. How would you start?
Well, I would say, these are reactive, fast, active dogs that need to be doing stuff. As I'm saying that her dog is not a barker, because mine is, and I absolutely love the dog screaming his head out when we are outside. Mm-hmm. The house is a no-barking zone, though, and we solved this within the first week by a very simple technique. The dog was tethered, what they call tethering, is the dog is attached to me for the first few dogs in the house. He's a rescue, so he came with the whole package. He wouldn't just bark. He would actually end up hanging on the people's throat, giving a chance. it was for me to stay in control the whole time. So the dog was with the short lead attached to me most of the time around the house. And I would set it up, say, on 20 or 30 occasions each day. And each time the doorbell would ring, we would just walk up to his bed, which is within easy reach of the front door, so he could see what's going on by the door. And I would pay him really generously by providing a large portion of his dinner for him lying in the bed. So now it doesn't take much. When the doorbell rings, the guy gets really excited in a good way, runs to his bed and says, "Right, feed me now." This is a great game. He's loving it. He doesn't get excited because of the fact that somebody is at the door, but he's looking at me in anticipation of, "Oh, am I good or what?" So this, for me, just worked like magic in no time.
Right. So, okay.
So did you understand his approach?
Yeah, I kind of got that, what he's doing.
Honestly, I didn't, but I'm glad you did.
Vlad, in a few words, the excitement that has a reason at the time when the doorbell rang, instead of trying to stop it altogether, it's a physiological process. The adrenaline is rushing through the blood, the oxygen is brought to the brain, and muscles are functioning in overdrive. So instead of trying to teach him to stay calm, don't react, the dog is already at a heightened state of alert. I'm just diverting it from one excitement to the other. So now the dog is a different job to do. The dog runs to his...
I don't know, Dima, if I'm staying on the nude beach and so many beautiful ladies around this nude beach, I don't know how you can really redirect me from that excitement unless you do the strong averse. And that's why I would like to talk to the Mark Goldberg. What would be your approach?
Well, I'm not the guy who's going to do a terribly strong aversive. I don't want to be categorized that way. And I think that Dima gave a very sensible answer, but I'm quite... convinced.
You're such a politician. Go ahead.
Well, I like him. I like this man.
No, I love that. I told you in the beginning I loved that guy. Go ahead.
What I can tell you is that
I would marry him if he was
a dog trainer with excellent timing like Dima is going to make short work of that problem. Here's the issue, though. Not everybody in the home. Elsa might not have the same timing ability to interrupt, redirect, and reward. So sometimes if we take an excitable dog and we reward... we might be rewarding a quiet moment where the dog is not talking, but the dog is thinking about talking and that they associate the reward with that. So timing is everything. If you struggle with that, I completely am on board with Dima. Put the dog on a short leash for the first 5 days in the home and just carry a water pistol. That's all.
If you lost common sense in relationship with your dog, I will bring that common sense back to you. Am I right, Mika? Good girl.
I have a little water bottle at the door. That's what I try and use sometimes.
We could detonate that dog remotely.
You know, I was just hoping that she would just not bark at all because...
Well, you have a German dog, Elsa, and I don't know. You have a German husband, too, so I have to tell you, you should be aware the Germans, they like to talk. And all the German dogs...
Yeah, exactly. So, guys, we are running out of time. But, Elsa, thank you so much. I would love to talk to you more. Maybe you're going to call us with another... I know your mother-in-law has another problem, or you have a problem with mother-in-law, but it's... German mother-in-law.
I don't have a mother-in-law, so I don't have a problem. Thank goodness for that. No problems okay. like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear Elsa.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Guys, thank you so much. Mark, it was a great, great pleasure to have you. I would love to have you more. We're going to talk about many different things with Dima. I know you're already in love with him. I'm not sure about me, but I have to let you go. And everyone wants to have a wonderful dog trainer, real one. And if you... heard, very balanced one in Chicago, you know, or you want to drop your dog by his private boot camp, please contact him through chicagodogtrainer.com. Thank you, my dear Mark. Talk to
Thank you, Vladdy.
And you, Dima, my Russian buddy, you got to stay here. I'm not done with you, okay? And this coming up.
I'm not getting into it.
Okay, you got to stay here. Okay. We're gonna go for the break, and we're gonna come back with Dima, Dog Whisper, Russian Dog Whisper from UK.
People speak English, Spanish, or any other human language. The man you're about to meet speaks Doglish.
We'd never met anyone who claimed to be able to talk to a dog. That is until we met an unusual dog trainer named Vlad.
The Russian Dog Wizard is on the air.
This is Doglish Radio, and thank you for listening to us. Doglish, I named that radio Doglish because of we talk to the dog in the language they can understand and giving you suggestions, people, which makes sense, not maybe to you, but to your dogs. As we go through the process, I will give you many, many tips, which I call how to talk to your dog in Doglish, which is dog language. Right now, we are coming to the next segment, and just to let you know that I am with a guest, my honored guest, co-host, Joe Turner. Joe Turner is an animal communicator, and she's a very prominent one. She is helping people who have some problems with their pets. She can talk to the pets, and trust me on that. I would never say anything what I'd not believe. We live it, and we don't know where what world we live. We don't understand. If we don't see the things, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I put her many times for the test, and I was amazed, and I know you will be amazed too. She does have a crystal ball. She does have X-ray vision.
What? What?
And we are working with her together today on our show. And Joe, how I am doing so far?
Oh, Vladdy, you're doing very well. And let me just clarify my English part of my name instead of the Russian part. It's Joy.
Oh, I'm J-O-Y. So sorry, Joy. I know in America it's the biggest crime when you're mispronouncing somebody's name. It's a joy, people. You know, they're asking Russians to spell. It's like asking rabbits to play in the basketball. So, you know, I hope you will apologize me for that. And I would like you to bring us some breaking news, if you could.
I'd be delighted to. Have you ever been in a place where geese are just a real problem? Not only are they there and they try to bite at your heels, but there's also their little, shall we call them, droppings everywhere? Well, in Annapolis, Maryland, there's now a woman named Colleen Shannon who operates Maryland Goose Patrol. She and her dog, Rain, who, by the way, has been specially trained, remove the geese. People hire her and her dog to actually come and remove the geese. Now, she does not kill the geese. She doesn't catch them. She just scares them off with Rain. And she does that enough times over a long enough period that those geese actually just don't return. And she calls this goose hazing.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds very, unbelievable. Well,
it does, doesn't it?
It is. Well, who we have next?
I believe we're still going to Dima.
Oh, yeah, we're talking to the Dima. This is going
to
be very interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting segment. We're going to talk with the Dima.
And I love his philosophy because his philosophy very much matches mine.
Oh, my gosh. I kind of know myself. Like, okay, everyone loves Dima. Nobody loves Vladi now.
Hello. Does anybody hear this broadcast?
We always love you, Vladi.
Okay, I know that. I know that. Look, the Dima is pretty famous in the UK. He is participating in many TV and radio shows back there. Could you tell us a little bit about your business, Dima?
Right. I run a little school. Well, it's kind of a family-run business with only six staff, based in London, but covering most of the southeast of England. We have a book out, well, a couple of books, really. The one you can look up on Amazon is called Dima's Dog School. It's a hand-feeding book because hand-feeding is our major technique. Basically, we are not sort of proclaiming ourselves the positive-only trainers, and, well, let's hope no one thinks it this way. But the method we teach to, well, especially new students, is purely hand-feeding. Hand-feeding is, well, probably a massive step up from just using rewards and delivering those, you know, in exchange for good behavior. Right, I will probably dive into it a little later.
Dima, let's we do this. Sure. Let's we talk more about your philosophy, because I see many, many, and as we speak, I see people contacting us through the Facebook and tweeting us. And as I see, you hear all the sounds because we are using, it's technological radio, and people calling us, not just calling us, they also reaching us through the Facebook and Twitter and everywhere. And by the way, the phone number is, you can reach us as right now, it is 888-429-5471.
Got a question? Call Vladdy.
888-429-5471. That is Douglas Radio, and we're with Dima. And here's what we're going to do, Dima. We have one caller who's calling us right now, and we would like to talk to her and see what her behavior problem is. And as usually, you tell your part of the story, I tell my part of the story. And we'll see, let the listener decide who is the right, who is the wrong.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Jen.
How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, and thank you for taking my call, Vlade. I've been listening and trying to learn about how to work better with my dog, but I do have a particular question. I wonder if you can help me with it.
My gosh, you are the alpha. You momentarily started with a question. Normally, I am asking questions here, but it's okay. Look, just to let you know, I also have a very renowned trainer with me on the line. He's from UK. And everyone loves him beside me. I'm not sure if you like him.
I'm sure it's not all that bad.
So anyway, so you tell your question and see what you think first before I say. Go ahead.
All right. Well, hello to everyone. I have a 15-pound, 2-year-old Havapoo.
What? What?
And she's a very sweet personality. She seems a little bit anxious to me, but our biggest difficulty is that she's quite a barker, especially when we go on walks, if she encounters other dogs, if she encounters people while we're walking, even if a car passes the house, she'll bark.
So let me get it straight. So because you're telling me have a poo, yes?
Yes.
So those, Dima, you would agree with me at least on this. This is a two amazing breeds. If somebody would tell us we have a Shih Tzu or Lhasa Apso or I'm not breedist or colorist, but you would agree with me, not every puppy is created equally. And the breed trade really make sometimes differences in the dog's behavior.
No, I still believe in nature versus nurture, where nurture takes probably a good 80% cut in what the dog is going to be like, if not more.
Okay, nothing new. Nothing new. Dima disagree with me. Okay.
Very important when you're starting out, but yes, we override pretty much what nature brings in with the dog.
Okay. Well, so far we're okay with you. Okay. So, Havanese poo. It means we have a... Havanese, for me, it's Havanese Maltese. They are such a smart... I love them. I honestly, to God, I love those. And I love poodle. Poodles, for me, is a graduator from the Harvard. It's a very... Or Musk University. Or Krakow University, like you graduated. They're very, very smart. And they're very nice. But they can be very manipulative. You know the manipulative, Dima? It's like like wife learns to do eventually if she's successful, you know, to let her husband, to manipulate her husband, to let, to make him to do whatever she wants him to do and make him think that was his idea. So that's the dogs are. They should be very smart, very manipulative, but they can be a little bit fearful. If you don't train your dog will train you. Joe, if your dog is a little bit fearful?
Yes.
Okay, so what would you do? So basically the situation is you're walking that dog on the leash and the dog sees another person or dog and pushing probably against its leg or just barking heads up. What would you do, Dima?
No, very easy. Let me ask you this question first. How responsive is your dog to you and to training, especially when you're out of the house?
In most cases, she's very responsive. If we're in the car, for example, at all other times, except in this situation. My daughter, especially a teenager, walks her and has encountered some difficulties. As she's walking, another dog will run up to her, and she will just bark incessantly, but almost as if she's in a red zone, and when my daughter pulls her to her...
It is a red zone, yes, I agree.
Like Pitbull.
So it's very good that you said the dog is responsive, and once they like sort of communicating with you when you're out and about, it's very easy to teach something that I will suggest that you do. You see, no barking or no lunging is not the behavior. You cannot be teaching the dog to do nothing. You could be teaching the dog to do something, and that something might have to be pre-trained to the dog beforehand. Something like, how about chilling for 2 seconds? How about freeze, stay still? How about a sit? I love taking it a lot further than just this. So at the side of the dog, and to start with, without many disruptions, I just sort of walk along the empty footpath and then just step to the side and get the dog to perhaps roll over or beg or do, you know, a nice curtsy or bow and pay the dog for that and then slowly put them in the same position but asking them to remain there for a few seconds at a time. So then, once the dog learns that this game could be introduced in the middle of the walk, just out of the blue, and the dog joins in and likes to cooperate with you, then wait for the distractions to come up. But even there, it's probably a bit too early to talk about the dog distraction. How about just one of your friends walking past and maybe bouncing the ball up, or maybe flapping the hands or hopping up in the air? So that will be probably something the dog will be quite intrigued by, but not overwhelmed like by the sight of another dog. And now the dog is learning that when something unusual happens, such as somebody is walking in the opposite direction, we just get off the path and, let's say, play dead. You know, get the dog into a flat position or give your paw, wait for a few seconds, get your treat. So that would become such a great alternative to the bad behavior of sort of going nuts, basically, at the sight of another dog.
If you cannot lead your dog will lead you.
And I would be trying to do this for a period of time, sometimes between, you know, 2, 3, 5 days to a couple of weeks. And then if you have quite a good response rate, we might talk about adding some corrections to it once, let's say, 80 or 90% of the dog responses are great anyway. But otherwise, teaching with negatives will not make your dog like the person passing by any better. So for that reason, teach the happy behavior. Teach the variety of happy behaviors and put them into practice.
As usually, Dima's approach is very nice, very, but to me a little bit complicated and hard to implement because in the real life, you know, the things like a neighbor Kathy, who may be whore, but her dog is Labrador Retriever barking nonstop, and you now with your dog, you can pass her by, and it's becoming a big issue. The neighbor Mike maybe, you know, suddenly appear. Sometimes it's very hard because the real life is a little bit different. Okay, here's my approach. You probably have a two situation, one related to the dog's aggression, second related to the people. Related to the people, it's a little bit easy. The way to fix it, you have to use a double conditioning by Russian academic Pavlov. Put the special treats, which never going to get from you, like a piece of hot dogs fried with butter and garlic powder, not the onion, garlic powder. Put it in cellophane bag and let the people approaching toward you and ask, first of all, let the dog know what is coming by the sound. So you make the sound first. It's very important. Sound first, treats after. doorbell first, treats after. So people need to make that sound, and you in the beginning giving the treats. After that, people make the sound, you give the treats. You can get the situation even though the dog is still will be barking, even somebody offering the treats. So you cannot be positive if your dog is negative. That's the reason for correction. Like a doggy mama has the two words in her vocabulary, yes and no. We have a dying yet in Russia, and you have in America, yes and no. You have to use appropriate correction. And I would love to use in this situation, like starting your dog to worry about you, then worry about another dog or people. It calls competing of stimuluses. I would arm myself not with the water gun, Dean, which you suggested before, or Mark Goldberg suggested. I would arm myself.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, I would suggest it to myself. I know you never used any guns. I would grab a pet convincer, which is spray air device. You push the button, it's gonna pss, like air. The dog will momentarily get startled. I use the appropriate. Yeah, it's not going to talk scare, nothing. You startle him in the attention from that time, like a doggy mama who bite. You can lick and say, good boy, good girl, and you can give the treats in this situation. So if the dog doesn't show any stress, you give the treats. The dog shows stress, you first correct, and after redirect, and after praise. That would be approach would be, and I would make sure the dog would never, ever pushing its body against you, because when the pushing body against you, it's organizing coalitions or alliance with you. The dog will be even more aggressive. You need to make sure to always keep the dog away from you in the time when people approaching to you. The dog approaching, you want to make sure you allow your dog to sniff in other dog's butt. First, yes, you believe it or not, that's what the dogs do. They're sniffing each other's butts. It's like a Googling. They're using that search engine to get to get information from each other. So that's what I would do in this situation. Again, on the walk, I want to make sure I would teach the dog walk properly, because if the dog is pulling you on the leash and walk chaotically, you cannot do anything. You cannot pass your neighbor Kathy's lap. You cannot do anything. That would be my foundation. And we can talk a lot of things about structures, rules, and many other things, but we're fortunately running out of the time. Thank you so much for listening. And, Dima, it was always a pleasure to have you. Joe, thank you for your question.
Talking to you guys, some great
yes.
advice. Open conditioning is a matter of all dog training. Great. It will work. Good luck.
Yeah. You know, you got my secret. Yeah, I should have kept my mouth shut. Okay, but we're going back to the Douglas Rady, and we have an exciting guest next, which is Susan Sims, publisher of Fight the Friendly magazine.
Change yourself, or your world will never change. That is why, when the Vladi talks, everyone is listening.
You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
This is the Back to the Doglish Radio, the only radio about the dogs and with the dogs. And my Mika German Shepherd is with me today. She's so happy to be with me. Am I right, Mika? Huh? No, I'm not hearing. Am I right? Say hi, everyone. Yeah, that's all right. Good girl. You lay down. And I am so excited as much as my German Shepherd, Mika, is because my next guest is the big friend of mine who I know for years. And she's quite celebrity because she is the publisher of the Fido Friendly magazine. It's the only magazine in the country which is focused on traveling with your pet. And she considering one of the top experts in the traveling with your pets. Susan, I love you so much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Right back at you.
Do you hear that?
Today I am also having exciting co-host. I have a Joe Turner with me. She's helping me co-host the show today, and I know you know each other very well. And the
Hi, Joe
can
Turner.
Tell.
How are you?
Hi, Susan. I'm wonderful.
And Joe can say so many nice things about you, about your expertise, and about your magazine.
Susan Sims is the CEO, the publisher, and co-owner of Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. It's now in its 12th year, and you can find Fido Friendly magazine at places like Barnes & Nobles, Hastings, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Fido Friendly includes hotels and destination reviews, health and wellness topics, adoption stories, and the latest trends for you and your traveling puppy dog. Susan loves to travel with her husband and her two adopted dogs, Junior and Jake, that you might want to go to with your little dogs, or big dogs as the case may be, just so they can review them and tell you which ones are worth going to. And maybe not even those ones that are so wonderful that you'd want to stay away from. If you'd like to find out more, you can visit Fido Friendly at FidoFriendly.com.
And I love personally Susan, and we personally had a wonderful experience with their advertisement program because one of my company, Pet Convincer, did advertisement in the Fido Friendly magazine, and we have a tremendous, tremendous success. By the way, for everyone who is listening right now, I having column with another great expert in the dog world, Arden Moore, in the Fido Friendly magazine. What is the name of that column? It's a She Says, He Says, or She Barks.
It's much more fun than that. It's She
I love that.
She Yaps.
Ah, yeah, Sheila, she yaps, he yaps. Yeah, that's what we do. We're arguing like the same way like we're arguing with Dima from UK, but now it's like, you know.
You have totally different. I ask a question and neither one knows what the other is going to, how they're going to respond. So it's a training question, and you have totally different answers. Yeah.
So,
I never know what you're going to say.
Exactly. And so Susan, to some degree, is my boss. And so you, if you heard, she said, I am asking. But listen, Susan, today you are on my show because I am asking here you. And here is the question.
You're putting me on the hot seat.
Yeah, you are. And then you know I love you. And are you married? But I know your husband. Joe Turner asking if I'm married. But it doesn't matter, Joe. I'm European. Okay, so here is the question. You know, it's always sunny time in California, or what do you say? How do you say it in America? It's always sunny time where?
It's always sunny in California.
Oh, really? Okay, so I was
absolutely
right.
Absolutely,
sometimes
yeah.
I say the right things. Okay, and but it's always traveling time with your pets. So Susan, considering one of the top, if not the toppest, expert in the traveling with your pets. So she, that's her magazine basically aimed toward, and she herself can share for our listeners the wisdom. I would like to ask you concrete questions. You know, it's kind of no spin zone here. It's like a straight talk about your dog. No cats, no any number of animals, just dogs. Like Fido Friendly, we just talk about dogs. We're the same. It's a doglish radio.
Okay.
With the Russian Dog Wizard. Was the world famous Russian dog wizard. I don't want to be impolite to myself. Yeah. So five tips, if you could, and we're going to count it because I have an amazing producer, Doug, who's sitting next to the room. Doug, are you there?
Yes.
Doug.
Yes, I'm here.
Are you sleeping there or what are you doing? Good. So I'm going to ask you five. I want to make sure everyone is attention.
When the Vladi talks, everyone is listening.
Five tips, Susan, to make success with traveling with your pets. And two things to avoid that nightmare. What are two things, the worst thing you could do, basically, if you travel with your dog? And five things, the best thing what you should do in order to make it success. Go.
Okay. Let's start with the two worst things. I know one that pops into my head right away is to decide to take a road trip with your dog and having never introduced your dog to the car.
What? What?
Now, it doesn't sound like people would do that, but people do that. They just decide we're going to go and we're going to take Fido with us and put Fido in the car and off they go. Well, Fido freaks out. So it kind of goes. So that's one of the worst things. So the tip, obviously, is to get your dog used to traveling in the car, and that starts with short trips. And that means I did this with a pet years ago. She was the cutest little lab, and put her in the car, and she freaked out. So I started baby steps. I put her in the car. I drove maybe three houses and then I would come back. The next day I would do more and more and more. Eventually I got it to where I was taking her to the park, and she always had a fun experience. So the tip is, wherever you go, don't just take them to the vet, because then they think, oh my God, I'm going to the vet. But put them in the car and take them someplace fun like the park, or when you get to your destination, give them a you know, nice little treat, like, wow, wasn't that fun? And then before you know it, you've worked up to going, you know, to do different things. One of the other worst things I think you can do is, not all dogs are meant to travel. If your dog gets sick, there's not a whole lot you can do. You can try different things, but the bottom line is you may not be able to take your dog. I hate to say that because we're all about traveling with our dogs, but some dogs just can't, go.
You know,
they might be,
I agree with you.
Might be antisocial.
But I also love, and especially I love when I read your magazine, you have a specific some type of the gadgets which make the traveling be really easy, a lot of, you know, interesting gadgets to consider, like, for traveling. Could you tell us at least your favorite one?
Oh, well, I'm big on, I'm not so much a gadget, but I'm really big on putting a crate in the car and putting my dog safely in a crate.
So you like the traveling crate, yes?
I learned that the hard way, too. They are go in the crate and say they're secure. You know, a pound per dog coming through the window or into you. And when we travel, we have two big crates. We put the dogs in the back. We close the hatch, and they usually just go to sleep. They're really used to it, and I think that that, again, is something you work up to. If people don't like the idea of the crate, you know, at least get some kind of safety restraint. There's so many seat belt attachments now that are made specifically for dogs traveling. But secure your dogs, you know, if nothing else, because once again, if accidents do happen and you don't want any harm to come to your very best friend.
I got it. This is the Susan Sim, fighter-friendly publisher, my big friend. Susan, you're quite a celebrity, and I will, when I'm interviewing celebrity, I'm giving them three questions, most two, and that's maybe not related to the pets, but the people really wants to know about a little bit personal view of the person. So I did not prepare you about this. I love to do everything just like this. So you have just literally one sentence for each question. My question number one: in your life, what you've done with your pets, in your professional career, what you're most proud of?
The most proud of is our month-long pet adoption tour called Get Your Licks on Route 66, which we are preparing to go from LA to Chicago in October.
What would you most regret of?
That I hadn't gotten a dog in my life.
What would you say to the God if you would appear in front of him tomorrow?
Where's your dog?
This was the Susan Sim. I try to be honest. I try to be very fair and objective. I love that lady. I really love. Susan, thank you so much for being on the show. I would love to have you more. Meanwhile, please, people who are listening to us, you will find so much interesting information in Fighter Friendly. You can find my column, interesting gadgets and tools we describe on the show, and much beyond than that, if you're going to purchase and look online even in the Fighter Friendly magazine. Susan, thank you for being on the show. And show keep going on. We're going to have another exciting guest.
We're going to have Tom Nazziola, who is created some wonderful music for you and your animal companion. So stay tuned for more of Doglish Radio.
Sit, stay. The Russian Dog Wizard will be right back.
Even I'm getting a little bit sleepy. What about you, Joy?
I already went to sleep.
Exactly. And this is the very special guest with a very special music and CD for pets we're having right now on the phone.
And his name is Tom Nazziola. His music has been featured on virtually every medium all over the world.
It's been performed in France, in Ireland, Slovenia, Guatemala, Croatia, and throughout the United States. He's also been broadcast nationally and internationally on radio and television shows, for instance, on NBC, ABC, ESPN, BET, CBS, and his music has also supported national ad campaigns, documentaries, and news programs, including places like Dateline NBC, Special Olympics, Fox College Sports, NFL Network, ABC's Primetime Mysteries, and Hooking Up in CBS News.
Wow, Tom, you're almost as famous as me.
Yeah, not quite.
Welcome to the Doglish Radio. This is the show about dogs, with dogs, and this is the straight talk about your dog. And Tom, this is a huge honor for us to have you.
Thank you so much.
And my first question, of course, is, because I'm familiar with your CD, and I'm going to tell my listeners a little bit about this, but I'd like to hear it from you. What happened? You've been everywhere. You basically are so famous. You've done everything with the human music. How did you get into this canine music? Because for everyone who is listening to me right now, I don't understand what is going on is here, but Tom is creator of this very special music, and he's going to talk about this in 1 second.
You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
Basically, when you're playing, and this is the truth, because it's not just my trainers across America proved it, but he has a lot of proof from different institutions, Humane Society. So what's happening is shelters, when you play this music, you almost, the dog kind of becoming sleepy, and they could calm them down. I don't know what is the secret here, but it works. So, Tom, I have two questions, basically. Question number one, what the story behind the story? I mean, do you have a dog? You want to help your personal dog, your friends? How did you come to this idea to do it? And number two, what is it based on?
Yeah, very briefly, I used to do work for Disney's Baby Einstein, which was based on classical music for children. And I just became very interested in the relationship of classical music to pets because I already knew how it worked with people. So that's what sparked the idea. And I just started experimenting and checking out classical music. And I realized something very basic, which you actually mentioned at the beginning of the show, when you were saying that you were getting sleepy, is that pets, especially dogs, tend to respond emotionally just like we do. So if you listen to something that makes you relaxed or makes you sleepy, most likely it will do the same thing for your dog. So I discovered the relationship between people and pets, and particularly how classical music could achieve that.
That's very interesting. And, you know, we knew that you were going to come on the show. We're very happy about this. And we sent through the social media some requests to our listeners. If anyone has some problems related to separation anxiety or any behavior problem, because this is the great addition to any behavior modification approach when you leave the dogs alone or when the dog is barking nonstop or chewing you out of the house and things like this, you know, and we received many, many, requests to be on the show. So we picked, just because we are limited in the time, as you know, airtime is very expensive. So we got one person, we just decided to go with him, and I would like to put him on the air. Mr. Producer, line number 4.
Oh, yeah. How you guys doing?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Dave, you are on Doglish Radio. And, you have some problem. You have some behavior problem with your dog. You would like to let us know and see how I can help you.
Yeah, a couple of things. He's a Jack Russell Terrier mix. And
it doesn't sound good to me. Go ahead.
He's very hyper, very active. He sleeps in a crate in our bedroom at night, and a lot of times he has trouble going to sleep.
Uh-huh.
He'll whine and he'll bark until someone is either in the room or we go into to sleep in our bed.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's somebody in there, he's fine. If not, then he does a lot of whining and barking, and so he's just really anxious, I think, about sleeping unless somebody's there.
If you treat your dog like a human, your dog will treat you as a dog.
The other thing I have is he barks tremendously when he sees someone or another dog walking past the house or anywhere. He's just barking and barking and barking. So just looking for some suggestions.
Okay, I'm going to give you a few quick tips, and after that, it's going to be triple service for you. I'm going to give you a quick tip, 1 minute from behaviorist, after you're going to hear from animal communicator who has X-ray vision. He will tell you quickly what she thinks, why they don't behave like this. And, you know, I would also would like you to talk to the person who we have on the air right now, which you probably know about. His name is Tom Nazeola, and he's creator of amazing music, which Calming the Dogs. So let's quickly go through that. So without any long discussions, my best advice for you would be give that dog job to do. The dogs must have three jobs: physical job, mental job, and social job. Social job, it means him being part of your social group. He needs to be with you. And in order to do that, he needs to behave. Yeah, if you're behaving, you're taking with you. You can be otherwise. You know, people kick them out of the house and locked in the backyard, becoming, you know, like almost like under arrest in the backyard. Mm-hmm. So physical needs, get that Jack Russell in your backyard. And if you're not living in California where the backyard like in Midwest, in California, backyard is like a balcony for the Midwest, you know? Yeah, so
I have a big backyard.
Okay, so get that, you know, dog in the backyard, have a few tennis balls or something he likes to chase, and make sure the key is keep him running back and forth without stopping. That's the key.
Oh, yeah, yep.
No stop for 5-10 minutes. After, I would suggest you put the collar and leash on him and show him who is the boss through the walk. Make sure he's ahead of you. You have to turn around and snap, just walk him through your house. It's almost like you're marking your territory without spraying all over. Yeah, I'm serious. If the dog is misbehaving in your backyard, in your house, or anywhere, if you show him he's the boss, if you start to walk him instead of he walking you, trust me, he's going to stop barking and misbehaving very quickly, because now he's worried about you and less worried about anything else. And plus, he's now becoming tired. Tired dog is the good dog. So, and after that, if anything left alone, I would just use a air compressed device by name Pet Convincer. You push the button, compressed air like this come out, and that's going to stop any unwanted behavior.
I bring the great examples, and those examples people can relate.
Joe Turner, hopefully I pronounced your name right.
It was close, Vladdy. It's actually Joy, as in joy to the world kind of thing. Okay. And
Joy.
Dave...
Joy.
Mm-hmm. Joy, absolutely. Dave, your guy says a couple of things. First of all, about the whole bedtime thing, he thinks it's actually a punishment when you put him in the bed before you're ready to go there.
Okay.
So to him, it's a thing that you do together mutually, and that's why he's barking. Unless you're in there, it's like, no, you really need to be here with me, because his first instinct really is to be with you. He wants to be with his people. The second thing that you mentioned about barking about everyone else, he thinks you don't actually have enough energy to exhaust his energy. So I'm not sure how you're going to do that, but he needs to run a lot, but he needs to see a purpose, because for him, in his mind, what he tells me is to just endlessly go chase that ball until he's actually tired instead of you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have enough of a purpose in his mind, so he gets bored. He thinks he gets bored really easily, and so you need to vary things, do a lot of different things, and maybe even hire someplace like a daycare center where you can take him and let him just be there playing with other dogs all the time. And
yeah, we have taken him to dog parks, and, I mean, he does run unbelievably a lot.
Yeah, but the key is he needs to run back and forth without stopping. And you need to do something with his mind. I cannot tell Dave more than that. 1 minute sit-stay takes as much energy like 1 mile to run. When he stays, 1 minute sit-stay cannot move, because you're going to pop the leash, you're going to put him back in the position, he's going to tire like a dead dog he will be. After 2-3 minutes, mm-hmm. you're going to collapse. Trust me on that. If you're going to make him in structures, walk next to you, not ahead, not sniffing, somebody butts, he's going to be tired too. But look, there is the easy way versus the hard way. And it's a great suggestion, Joy.
Joy.
That's a great suggestion you just gave, but I have an easy way. And there is a CD, and we have a Tom Nazeola right now, who's mm-hmm. creator of them on the line. And basically, it's a great complementary approach. Whatever you do, of course, you have to do what we ask you to do. But at the same time, if you turn that music on, what's going to happen? You will see the magic happen in front of you, because I'm using it for a severe case of separation anxiety when the people leave the house and the dogs basically destroy their house. The dogs jumping from the balconies and cut themselves. I hate to tell you, Joey, I have a dogs who are chewing themselves out of the crates. The teeth, blood is all over. And people buying for them metal crates, like a, almost like a confinement, like a Zorro. And this is called Music My Pet Classic Cuts. Could you play a little bit for us, or the Tom Nazziola, as we play, tell you a little bit, one line about this product? Mr. Producer, could you play for us? Because, you know, I would like to be visual. It's not really visual. Joey, how to say properly in English? I would like to
people... You'd like to have them have the audio presentation of what we're talking about.
Exactly. It's like when I train the dogs, I like to go to the Victoria's Secret store because for some reason they inspire me to give the dog training classes and socialization for dogs, for me. I have to be careful. My wife is, I'm glad she's not here. She's worse than Catholic Inquisitions if she would hear what I just said. But anyway, could you please, Hecka, play that classic cuts, and we are going to listen Tom Nazziola. Ah, wonderful. Tom.
Yes.
Could you tell to our, first of all, could you please do the gift for this, my caller? Could you, Mr. Producer, I know that Tom would agree to send one free CD for the caller after the show.
Absolutely.
Dave. Absolutely. Yeah, after the show, please, Mr. Producer, take the address from the Dave.
Yes.
Do you think music will help? I know they're going to help, but what do you think?
I think it's a combination. It's both what you and Joy had explained in terms of the behavior modification, and then what the music does is it actually serves as a distraction. If the pet is thinking about something and is obsessed with something, like maybe you're going away and it gets very anxious, the music takes the pet's mind off of the thing that's making them anxious. And in fact, the beginning of the CD, we put two really high-pitched beats, which are sensitive. Dogs are sensitive to those frequencies. And you might see their ears go up because they hear the high frequency, and then they're listening. And
wow.
That's what you want to do. You want to distract them from the thing that's bothering them.
It's like when you have a bad mood and your wife is served for you the wonderful food, because I still have my wife is, she's still good. I mean, spoils of life in America haven't spoiled that Ukrainian girl. She's still cooking for him. So basically she give me something very nice and I am very stressed. I will be not thinking about something bad.
That's
a great,
right.
great real analogies you made. Where can the people buy your CDs generally?
You could buy it on our website, which is www.musicmypet.com.
Musicmypet.com. Musicmypet.com.
Yep.
Musicmypet.com. Tom, thank you so much. And Dave, thank you so much for calling us. Tom, thank you for being such a great guest. I truly enjoyed talking to you, and I hope we'll have you more on our Douglas show.
My pleasure, buddy.
You're listening now to Douglas Radio, and we love to invite great guests. If you have great show ideas, you can get in touch with us, or if you have unruly pets, you can contact Douglas Radio by calling 888-429-5471, or you can go on Facebook, type in Douglas Radio.